Thank you, Penny, for showcasing my unit. That was very nice of you. And I owe you one. And the first talk, we're going to talk about the flavor characterization of greening-affected orange juice. And this will be a little bit food science-y for you guys, but greening is a devastating disease in Florida, and it not only affects the fruit yield, but it affects the quality of the final product, so it's getting us at both ends. And this was a joint effort between myself. Main players are Ann Plotto and Jim Bai and John Manthe. We had some postdocs, Smita Rathore, Sharon D., and Sophie Deterre, and we have an industry partner, Mike Irie. So citrus greening, or Huanlongbing, I'm going to call it HLB. It's much easier to say. It's the most serious disease of citrus. It can kill a tree in 2 to 5 years. Some trees limp along longer than that, but they're productivity goes down rapidly. There's no known resistance in any citrus type. It's spread through most of the citrus areas globally, except probably around the Mediterranean and some other small spots. It's associated with Candidatus libarobacter species, or CLAS for short. The gram-negative phloem delimited bacteria. It's vectored by a psyllid, and it's reducing Florida yields. And just to give you an idea how serious this is, after the freezes in the 80s, we had our probably highest yields were about 250 million boxes. And then we went down to 133 million boxes in the 2012-13 seasons. And then in the last season, we're down to 104. Now, the industry in Florida is 90% processed and 10% fresh fruit. And the processors, it's been said by some economists, need about 120, some say 140 million boxes of yield to operate at full capacity. Well, they're obviously not operating at full capacity now. And there's been a lot of condensation of packing houses and processing plants, and we're now down to the bigger players. And I've heard two processing plants at least are closing next year and several packing houses. So once that infrastructure goes, it's really hard to get it back. So anyway, other speakers are going to go into this in more detail, but the disease triangle is you have the pathogen, the bacteria, you have the vector, which is a little fly called a psyllid, and you have the host, and you can see the yellowing here sector, that's a typical symptom of HLB. And you get blotchy mottle on the leaves, and this is a very extreme example, but the fruit tend to stay greener. So flavor issues with HLB, which is going to be the subject. This is my area. It imparts a bitter, sour taste due to lower sugars, sometimes higher acids, and higher levels of defense compounds like bitter limonoids, flavonoids, some alkaloids. And the fruit are acting like they're slower to mature, which makes sense because you have this bacteria in the phloem. It causes phloem plugging, and the fruit doesn't get the photosynthesis like it should. So it actually just matures more slowly. So we conducted sensory and analytical and chemical studies comparing HLB to healthy juice to determine the off-flavor drivers. And we conducted blending studies because the citrus industry, they're always blending their juice. The main varieties are Hamlin and Valencia. Valencia is much more orange than Hamlin, has more sugars, more aroma volatiles, and they blend those two all the time, and they blend early and late season. So we wanted to see if we could use this blending technology to mitigate the HLB flavor. And develop analytical methods to screen the juice for HLB off flavor using E-Tong and qPCR, which you'll hear about in a later talk, looking for CLAS in the processed juice. And also, since bitter compounds are present in orange juice at below their reported threshold levels, threshold is the level of a compound that you have to have in order to detect it in a food. And these bitter compounds are below their thresholds, and they shouldn't have been detected, but people were detecting it. So we went to investigate that. And since growers stopped pulling trees and they went to a foliar nutrition program trying to live with HLB and make their trees last longer, we wanted to see if, since some of those nutritional programs reduce the symptoms on the tree, if they've reduced the symptoms on the flavor of the juice. So anything I say about orange juice here also actually applies to fresh fruit as far as the flavor problems. So I'm going to talk about asymptomatic versus symptomatic fruit. So when I'm talking about, this is healthy fruit. This is what we call asymptomatic HLB fruit, and this is symptomatic fruit, small, green, lopsided. And it's been reported already that the symptomatic fruits, these small guys, are the ones that have the real flavor problems. They get a sour, bitter taste due to decreased sugar, sometimes increased acids, and increased levels of bitter limonoids. And this has been published by us at USDA and also University of Florida, and we had the same results, which is always good. So just to give you an example, this is Valencia from 2007. And what you're looking at is solid acids ratio, solids, total sugars, and titratable acidity. These were asymptomatic fruit, and this is Valencia harvested in March, April, May, and June. Minus means minus HLB, plus means plus HLB. So what happened is the total sugars and soluble solids, even back in 2007, were significantly lower for HLB samples for April, May, and June for the Valencia. This time we didn't see much difference in acids. And then we looked at the individual sugars, the sucrose, fructose, and glucose. Same scenario. This is Valencia in March, April, May, and June. Minus means minus HLB, plus means plus HLB. And we had significant differences for sucrose and glucose, that they were lower in the HLB samples for April, May, and June, and only April for sucrose. So that just gives you an idea. And again, we didn't see any differences that year for Hamlin or Midsweet as another juice orange. These are non-volatile compounds from that 2007 year. And what we have is limonin, nomalin, and an unidentified alkaloid. These were identified by John Manthe here. And we have Hamlin in February, minus or plus HLB, Midsweet, minus or plus HLB in February, and then all the Valencia harvest. So it was significantly higher for limonin and nomalin, both bitter compounds, in Hamlin in February. Only nomalin for Midsweet and for the alkaloid also, higher in HLB. And limonin and nomalin were higher in all the Valencia samples, as well as the alkaloid. So what I wanted to point out here, this is the level, the threshold level for limonin that's been reported in the literature in water or in air. So even Hamlin, which has a whole lot more limonin and nomalin than any of the Valencia samples, for example, a healthy Hamlin has more limonin than any of the HLB Valencia, so there's a lot of difference between varieties. Nevertheless, you shouldn't be able to taste it because it's below the threshold at which you can detect limonin. So we go, oh, we're home free, no problem. Here's the threshold for nomalin. Okay, only the Hamlin HLB sample was above its threshold. And this is another 2008, another year. We had higher limonin and nomalin for all the Hamlin samples. So we do, Amplato in our lab does a lot of sensory analysis for us, and then we combine it and look at the chemicals, see what's driving the sensory flavor. And just as an example, this was a sensory analysis where the yellow is the healthy and the blue is the HLB, asymptomatic fruit. And you can see they're almost the same for all these descriptors. She's highlighted the descriptors that had significant differences. Peel, oil, sour, fermented, peppery, musty, sweet and sour, bitter, metallic, and tingling. But the symptomatic fruit, you can see, have a lot more sour, a lot less sweet, a lot more of these undesirable peel oil, sour, fermented, peppery, musty compounds, bitter and metallic, etc. So it's the small symptomatic fruit that really has the flavor problems. And it's due to lower sugars, sometimes higher acids, than all these other bitter compounds. So what about blending the juice to try to manage HLB off flavor? Symptomatic are small, green, asymmetrical, and should be graded out at processing plants and or packing houses. They also often fall off the tree. They tend to upsize readily, so they shouldn't be harvested because you're not supposed to harvest off the ground. Nevertheless, they sometimes find their way into the packing houses and processing plants. So how much symptomatic fruit juice could you mix with normal healthy juice till you could detect a flavor difference? And so we looked at symptomatic juice and blended it with normal healthy juice to determine when the flavor would be affected. So chemical analysis of these juices. We had Hamlin and Valencia. We had healthy and HLB symptomatic for both types of oranges. And to make the sugar acid story easier, you can just look at the solids acid ratio. For Hamlin, there was no difference in the ratio, so any flavor problems for this fruit would not be due to sugars and acids. For Valencia, there was a big difference in the ratio. The HLB symptomatic juice had a much lower juice ratio due to probably less sugars and higher acids. What about the bitter limonoids? Again, here, for Hamlin, For Hamlin, we had a lot more bitter limonoids for the HLB symptomatic juice than for the healthy, and less so for the Valencia, because Valencia naturally has less limonoids anyway. So flavor problems for the Hamlin would probably be due more to the bitter limonoids. So we gave these juices to a panel. Again, Ann Plotto ran this panel for us. What we had was different blends. We had 6.25 HLB symptomatic juice blended with healthy juice. Then we had 12.5, 25, 50, and this was 100% HLB symptomatic juice. Again, for Hamlin and Valencia, it's the same juice you just saw the chemical analysis. So yellow is the detection threshold. The panelists were asked to taste healthy juice and one of these blends and tell us if there was, if they could detect a difference. If they can detect a difference, like you can't put your finger on it, but you know it's different, that's the detection threshold. If you can recognize what the difference is, like this juice is bitter or more bitter than the healthy or more less sweet or whatever, that's the recognition threshold. So basically what we found was about 25% HLB juice and healthy juice. Almost half the panelists could detect there was a difference. Probably about a quarter of them could tell you why there was a difference. But a 50% blend, which I don't think would happen in the processing plants, hopefully not, about two-thirds to almost all the panelists could tell you there was a difference, and about half to three-quarters could tell you why there was a difference. So we took these same juices. We need an objective measurement. We want to screen juices for HLB off flavor. And we ran them through an electronic tongue. Electronic tongue, these are the sensors here. And they dip into these little kind of jars down here, and they contain the juice samples. They do kind of a non-selective interaction with the solutes in the juice, and they'll tell you that one juice is different from another. They can't tell you why. They can't tell you this juice had more sugars than that one or anything like that, but they can tell you they're different based on a pattern recognition of the interaction with the solutes. So we did screening of the HLB juices with that. We're also screening with qPCR to measure the pathogen in the juice. Everybody's looking at a marker for HLB juice because all the processing plants want to know fruit coming into their plant, how much HLB juice or fruit were coming into their plant and it's going into that juice batch. So we're all the molecular marker, I mean all the markers, chemical markers we could think of, they're also present in healthy. They're just higher or lower in HLB juice. The only marker we could think of, and Jim Bai is going to talk about this, was the pathogen DNA itself. So you'll hear about that later. Anyway, we gave these same juices to the electronic tongue, and this is what we found. This is the 100% HLB symptomatic juice. This is the 50% juice blend, and this is the 6.25 to 25% juice blend. So the 100% was significantly different than the 50% blend. The 50% blend was significantly different than all the other blends, which were not significantly different from each other. For Valencia, it's the same, only the graph is reversed. It's flipped over. 100% HLB, 50%, and here's all the other blends, which were significantly different. So it's almost exactly what the panel found, which is very cool. So we have a processing plant now that's using the electronic tongue experimentally to see if they can use it to screen juice coming into the plant. So on to thresholds. What's up with the fact that people can detect this limon anomalin bitterness when it's below their threshold? So again, the threshold is the concentration of a compound that can be detected in whatever matrix, air, water, or model solution or juice. And therefore, the lower the threshold, the lower the concentration necessary of that compound for detection. So threshold of limonin was reported to be 1.0 milligrams per liter in water and 6 in orange juice. And for anomalin, it's about 0.8 in orange juice for detection. So all players was correlated in our panels to the higher limonin levels, although the limonin was below taste threshold. So we looked at the, it's been reported only in water, but not in a complex solution to mimic orange juice or orange juice itself. So in the sample matrix, simple matrix, we did 6% glucose and 0.15% citric acid. The threshold of limonin was 4.0 parts per million, compared to nomalin was 5.86, so limonin was lower than nomalin. We also gained some information that the panelists thought nomalin bitterness, which binds to a different receptor on your tongue probably than limonin does, was astringent, metallic, and lingering, which is some of the descriptors we get for HLB juice. So that was interesting. So then we wanted to test them together, and we found out there's a synergistic effect of limonin and nomalin together. So it decreases their normal thresholds down to 1.89 parts per million. Okay, now we're in the levels for both those compounds where you find them in orange juice, and that's why the panelists were starting to detect bitterness. We also tried it in a complex matrix where we had sucrose, glucose, fructose, citric, and malic acid to mimic orange juice, and we tried it in Valencia orange juice itself. And what we found was actually, it wasn't that different in the complex matrix, but it was the threshold went down by about half in orange juice, so they're more detectable in orange juice itself. So again, this is why the panelists were detecting bitterness in HLB juice, even though the limonin and nomalin levels weren't above their thresholds. So then we thought, well, what's the impact of sugars and acids? You can use compounds to mask the effect of bitterness. So we took unspiked Hamlin orange juice and unspiked Valencia orange juice. We spiked them with limonin and nomalin at their thresholds, and then we spiked them with limonin and nomalin plus citric acid or plus sucrose. And then we measured sensory bitterness on a scale of 1 to 10. So unspiked Hamlin, for example, is on a scale of 1 to 10 was around a 3 or 1.5 for Valencia. If you added limonin and nomalin, the bitterness perception goes up to 5.25 or 5.96. If you add an acid, it doesn't mask the bitterness significantly, but if you add a sucrose, a sugar, the perception of bitterness goes down in both varieties. And this is published by our postdoc, Sharon D. So what does that mean? If you have sugars going down in orange juice and bitter limonoid concentrations going up, you're getting a double whammy. You're going to perceive a lot more bitterness. So this is not good. So managing HLB. The growers should be, the most proven method is to scout and pull diseased trees. They're still doing this in Brazil, I understand. But when infection rates climb over 5%, the growers don't want to do this anymore. They already did for the canker eradication program. They pulled a lot of trees, and then we had the hurricanes of 2004 and 5 that blew canker all over the state. So now they don't want to pull trees anymore with a much worse disease that's going to kill your tree. So most growers are not pulling trees, and they're trying to maintain their tree health with this foliar nutritional program. Of course, everybody's putting, nutrients down in the soil and everything like usual, but they're spraying this foliar nutrition cocktail to try to make the trees limp along and stay productive. It's not only micronutrients, but it's systemic acquired resistance compounds. There's a lot of cocktails out there on the market. So they both want to give more nutrients to the leaves or the surface of the tree and hopefully bump up the tree resistance. So this policy could conceivably lead to 100% infection. Where do you think we're at now, Greg? 75? 99? So that's what we have. So nutritional programs. It started by Mary Boyd. He took his own cocktail and tried to save his trees. Those are his trees in the background. They're 80% infected, last I heard. And they look pretty good. But so he did the original foliar nutritional program. A lot of growers got on board after he started doing it. So symptomatic trees receiving a comprehensive foliar nutritional treatment, they improve visually in a lot of cases. But usually what happens is they improve and then they decline again. So it's like, it's not doing that much good, but the jury's out on that. It's a lot of argument. So we wanted to know if it improved the symptoms on the tree, would it improve the quality of the juice or the disease symptoms of off flavor in the juice? So that's where we came in. So this is an untreated healthy tree versus an untreated HLB tree. When I say untreated, they're not receiving a foliar nutritional program. And here's, I'm going to call them nutritional program 1, 2, and 3. Here's N2. See, they don't always pep up the tree that much or for too long. So we had, this is a healthy control, means no foliar nutrition. Here's the healthy HLB. Here's nutritional program 1 and 2, the healthies, and they're comparable HLB. You can see that the nutritional programs are not really improving the symptoms on the fruit. You see a lot of green small fruit here, and that's typical of HLB. So the size and color of the fruit, we did look into that some. This is mid-sweet from 2013. The pale blue is healthy, the dark blue is HLB, and this is fruit diameter, and you can see it's lower always in the reps with the HLB. They're also greener. We measured the color of fruit a lot of times with the Hunter chromometer. This is AB ratio, chromometer AB ratio. The blue is healthy, the green is HLB, and the higher the ratio, the more orange the fruit. The lower the ratio, the more green the fruit. And then we also, just to give you some examples, we looked at some Hamlins. This is conventionally grown, no foliar nutritional program, control in HLB. This is nutritional 1, control in HLB. Nutritional 2, control in HLB. In all cases, this is just from a severe tree versus a mildly affected tree. But in all cases, the HLB fruit were smaller in diameter, regardless of the nutritional program. So we looked at this through April 2012. We actually have 2013 and 14 data now. This is a typical nutritional treatment ingredients. I think this is the Mary Boyd cocktail. So we took the fruit from these nutritionally sprayed trees and versus healthy in the same grove area. This is all done at Southern Garden Citrus down in South Florida. We processed them, simulated commercial processing at the JBT pilot plant in Lakeland, and pasteurized the juice. And then we did sensory testing. And again, this is Ann Plato. She does a difference from control test with about 50 panelists. You get cups like this, two sets of four cups. Always on the right is healthy juice, and on the left is either HLB or another healthy, just to accommodate the placebo effect. So the panelists taste these two juices. We ask them how different are they, and they rate the difference on a scale of 1 to 10 for smell and for taste, and then we ask them to describe the difference. We also did trained descriptive panel, about 10 to 12 panelists, their rate descriptors of orange juice flavor. And then we measure chemicals like soluble solids, titratable acidity, sugars, acids, limonoids, and flavonoids, and aroma volatiles, which I'm not going to talk about today. This is me, Jen, and John Manthe, who do the chemical analysis, plus postdocs. So this is an example of trained panel for symptomatic fruit juices. The red is early Hamlin, the blue is a later Hamlin, and the green is Valencia. So this panel, this train panel, came up with the different descriptors for flavor. Orange, grapefruit, a lot of times HLB makes an orange taste like a grapefruit. Fruity non-citrus, orange peel, green, stale, oxidized oil. Typical HLB, because we could not just capture the je ne sais quoi essence of HLB. Then taste, sweetness, sourness, umami, bitterness, metallic, and mouthfeel, body, tingly, astringent, burning, and aftertaste, bitter, astringent, and burning. So this is just to show you the difference between an early season Hamlin and a late season Hamlin. The taste problems with HLB come up much worse early in the season. So your early season Hamlin had a lot of grapefruit, a lot of orange peel, a lot of typical HLB, very low sweetness, quite a bit of sourness, the most of all the three samples, umami, bitterness, metallic, tingling, astringent, burning, etc. The blue is a later season Hamlin. The early season was December, later season was in January. And you can see it has a lot less of those bad tasting compounds, as well as not as bitter and not as sour and sweeter than the early season Hamlin. And just for comparison, Valencia has a completely different panel pattern. Valencia fruit have a lot more volatiles, they have a lot more sugars, and they have less limonene and enamelin to start with, so you have a much higher orange, more sweetness, etc. And they have more body because there's more peel oil in it. So just quickly, this is the difference between a healthy, asymptomatic, and an asymptomatic HLB fruit for Hamlin. And I just wanted to show you that for typical HLB sweetness and sourness, you can see that the symptomatic fruit has a lot more HLB, less sweetness. And the asymptomatic fruit, which is in blue, the asymptomatic fruit's in green, the asymptomatic fruit is in blue, it's much more like the red, which is the healthy. And for Valencia, which we don't see as much problems due to HLB in the early years for Valencia, but Valencia's catching up now, unfortunately. The main difference was just in sourness, that the healthy fruit in blue was the least sour, followed by asymptomatic and symptomatic. And this is just to show you an example of untreated, these are all symptomatic fruit, nutritional 1 and nutritional 2. For Hamlin, you can see that nutritional 1 here had a lot more sweetness, even than the healthy. So that is an example where sometimes we see some of the nutritional programs actually improving sweetness. And same for the Valencia. So I'm just going to walk you through a couple of these. I'm almost done. Just to show you how we combine the sensory and the chemical. This is conventional healthy versus conventional HLB, no foliar nutrition. You have Hamlin, December 2009, asymptomatic, symptomatic, aroma and taste. This is different from control tests, remember with the cups. Here are the descriptors, and then we have solid acid ratio and limonene and enamelin. Always the healthy, the first number is the healthy, the second number is HLB. So very quickly for aroma, there's not a big difference on a scale of 1 to 10 between healthy and HLB. But for taste, 1.1 is what the panelists thought they saw between two controls. And 6.3 is what they perceived to be a difference between a control and an HLB, or healthy and an HLB. Here are the descriptors, lime, grapefruit, bitter, sour, astringent, grapefruit. And for the sample, this one where they saw a big difference between healthy and HLB, it's not due to ratio. This is the ratio of the healthy and this is the HLB. Their HLB actually had a higher ratio. It's due to the bitter limonoids, or had a lot higher bitter limonoids. The healthy had 3.6 parts per million, the HLB had 7.9. So here's another example. This is an asymptomatic fruit, an early Hamlin in December. 6.6 difference for taste on a scale of 1 to 10. Bitter, sour, grapefruit, lower ratio, and a big difference in limonene and enamelin. The healthy had 2.2 parts per million, and the HLB had 11.9. So that's your worst case scenario. Lower sugars, probably higher acids, and higher limonoids. That fruit tasted that juice tasted not very good. And here's a later season Hamlin, only a 2.6 difference in taste. Pretty even for ratio and not that high in limonene and enamelin. So that's the difference between early and late season Hamlin. And this is the last slide I'm going to show you for data is Valencia, just to show you something. A lot less differences for Valencia, only 3.1 on a scale of 1 to 10. And they thought they saw a 2.1 difference between two controls, so this is really not significantly different. Nevertheless, the juice had a lower ratio, 17 for healthy, 15 for HLB, but no difference in limonene and enamelin. And here is 4.1 for another between nutritional 1 healthy and nutritional 1 HLB. And again, lower ratio and slightly higher limonene and enamelin. And here's only a difference of 2.7. And it was for lower ratio. So in conclusion, limonene and enamelin are synergistic in terms of perception of bitterness in orange juice. We need about 25 to 50% symptomatic HLB juice and normal juice to detect a flavor difference. Generally, HLB effect on flavor is more evident for Hamlin than Valencia. And Valencia has less limonene and enamelin. It's also sweeter, and it has more volatiles. And there's another project we're doing where volatiles may help mask bitterness. Generally, HLB has more effect earlier than later in the season. And HLB of asymptomatic HLB is similar to healthy mostly, while HLB symptomatic juice is different. In some cases, like in 2012, nutritional treatments seem to result in higher sugars and perceived sweetness. We've seen this in 2013 and 14 also. And we're continuing on with the study. And the fate of Florida, or U.S. citrus processing industry, is in serious jeopardy with growers, packers, and processors decreasing every year. And with that happy note, I'm happy to answer any questions if there's time.
Is there time for one question?
Yes.
What kind of rootstocks were they grown?
I'd have to look back, but they're pretty standard rootstocks. Some of them are sour orange because it was down in Southern Gardens, but some of them may have been on other rootstocks. Well, there's a lot of talk about rootstocks, which Greg, I don't know if you're going to mention that in your talk, but there are some resistance.
By saying there's multiple rootstocks. Probably
averaged over. Right, because it was in a commercial grove. I'd have to go back and look. But there are some rootstocks that seem to be resistant to HLB. Not resistant, tolerance. But they don't impart it to the scion, but they do supply the scion with a better root system being functioning better under HLB. But those weren't used in these trials, for sure. All right, thank you.